Greetings in Christ Jesus and welcome again to the Twin Steeples podcast. My name is Pastor Joe Nauman. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church here in Mankato, Minnesota. I'm joined again today by our vicar, Vicar Drew Nauman, who is joining us for the summer. Drew, how are you doing today?
Doing really good. Thanks, Joe.
Wonderful. We are excited to get into our podcast again this week. We're going to begin with a devotion based on John chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. These are the words of our Savior. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. What I find very interesting about this analogy, Drew, is just how perfectly it frames in our mind for us the relationship between justification and sanctification. I have a little garden in my backyard. It's about 4 feet by 8 foot, and we have six tomato plants in there, and they're all just about getting to the ripe stage right now. And so all the little green tomatoes are just turning slightly orange and getting ready to turn red. But what's important to note is that these fruit need to remain on the vine, or else they're going to spoil and die. So my son the other day got away from us and ran out there and picked a whole bunch of these little green cherry tomatoes. And of course, they're no good anymore, right? They have not been ripened. And of course, if he took an entire branch off of the plant, that none of the fruit on that branch would ripen either. And this, for us, helps explain exactly the relationship, like I mentioned, between justification and sanctification. And this is an important balance when we read through our Bible. You know, lots of people talk about Paul being so focused on justification and of course, James being so focused on sanctification. But the truth is that Jesus, in these verses, explains it perfectly for us, right? In order for us to be saved, that's the justification part of it, we need to be attached to Jesus. He is the vine. We are the branches. A branch that is sitting all by itself, detached from the vine, cannot grow. If I took a branch off of my tomato plant, if I took a branch off of my tree, it's no longer going to keep growing. It needs to be connected to that life-giving source, how the water comes up from the roots and connects and brings to the branch the water it needs so that the photosynthesis and everything can take place, causing it to grow and to bear fruit. If it's detached, it can't do that. But once it is attached, then it, of course, it is able to bear that fruit. And that's what we see in the Christian life as well. We can't bear fruits unless we are attached to Jesus. And we can't do good works before the Father unless we are attached to him. And so that's why Jesus here tells us that those branches that are not bearing fruit, that are detached from him, even though they may even outwardly appear to be attached, will be taken off and thrown into the fire and burned. And so as we think about what we go through in life and the difficulties and challenges we face, we see also that Jesus mentions that every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. You know, if you're a good tree keeper in the winter time is when you prune your tree and you take off all the little branches that aren't going to bear enough fruits, that the tree can bear the maximum amount of fruit. That's the goal with the pruning. And that's what God does with us as well. You know, sometimes God's got to chop off things that we feel may be important to our lives because we're putting too much attention on them and not giving enough attention to him. God reminds us here that we need to be attached to him, and it's he is the one who gives us that life-giving nourishment that we need. And of course, that nourishment comes from his word. You know, it's the word of God, the living water that comes into our hearts and minds and causes us to grow in faith, causes us to trust in Jesus for our salvation because of what he has done. That's what makes him able to be the vine that we need, is because he lived the perfect life we couldn't. He died on the cross to take away our sins. He rose again for our justification. All these things are what make him the perfect vine. And now, as our Heavenly Father is the vine dresser, he is the one who shapes and molds and makes us his people. So really, these one of my favorite sections of the Bible. Obviously, you can tell I can ramble on and on about it for a while, but you can just, with these simple words, Jesus so clearly for us describes for us this divide between justification and sanctification. And it's so important to keep these things apart. Do you want to comment on why it's important that we keep justification and sanctification separate and distinct in our minds?
Yeah, Joe, I'm glad that you brought up both of those things, because this does really, the plant analogy or the tree analogy in regards to the fruit has been used throughout history as a very apt analogy for displaying the relationship between justification and sanctification. Martin Luther talked about an apple tree, where there's this tree that produces fruit, and you don't have to tell the tree to produce fruit. That's just what trees do. The tree being faith, and the fruit being the fruits of faith, good works. But it doesn't happen in reverse. You don't put an apple tree out in thin air, and the tree forms around that apple. That's ridiculous. That's not the way nature works. That's not how justification works either. You don't find that good work and then just put it out in the open, and then the faith comes from that. The faith has to come first in order for the fruit to follow. And the way that that fruit is formed in a plant is, like you said, the water and the sunlight, these things that it has no control over. They're just God causes the sun to shine and the rain to fall, and that waters and nurtures the plant to fruition. It's the same exact thing with faith, where God causes his word to be spread, and we hear that word, and faith is created and nurtured, and then as a natural byproduct, Christians do good works. The faith has to come first, though, and the fruits do follow. That's just the nature of faith. But we are not justified by these fruits of faith. It is entirely because of that, the sunshine and the rain of God's grace that he has given to us in his son Jesus Christ going to the cross for all of our sins, that we are able to produce any of these fruits. So it's nothing that we do. We are, and it's an entirely passive faith.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's, you know, and that's why it's so important to keep those separate, is because some people obviously will get confused. You know, they'll think, well, I'm doing a lot of good things, that, you know, look at my good works, that means I'm going to be saved, that means God's going to love me. Or they'll think, boy, I sure haven't been a very good person lately. How can God love me? How can I be a Christian? And you know, it's not the fruits that save us, like you mentioned, it's being attached to Jesus. It's all about being plugged in to Christ. That's what's most important. So let's say a prayer. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for creating that faith in our hearts, which clings to your word, which thirsts for that living water, which you provide for us. We continue to bless you for this wonderful truth, and we pray that you would now work in our hearts to do those good works that you have called us to do. We are your workmanship, as you say in your word, and you have created us for good works. So enable us, bless us, and motivate us by the love that your Son showed for us to do these good works according to your will. We pray these things in your name, and we pray that you be with all of us in the coming week. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Vicar Drew last week chose a hymn for us to close with that was entitled Built on the Rock, the Church Doth Stand, Even When Steeples Are Falling. And that was a little bit of a minor prophet moment for him, because this weekend our church did not fall from the steeple, but the basement flooded. So I've been in my mind singing all weekend, Built on the Rock, the Church Doth Stand, Even When Basements Are Flooding. So you probably heard by now that this weekend we had about 3 to 4 inches of standing water in the church basement, and including some standing water in the gym as well. So on Sunday we had to cancel services, and the crew came in and we got all the water out of the basement. We dried everything up, we washed, cleaned, sanitized. Everything was a whole day project on Sunday. Quite a few people came in again on Monday to finish up the work, but everything is all cleaned up now. The fans are still running in the gym trying to clear out the floor in there. We don't yet know whether or not the floor in the gym will be salvageable or not, but we continue to pray to the Lord that he would deliver us from that. So a very eventful weekend for us. You know, the vicar here is getting all kinds of strange and different experiences that he never thought he would, but we're thankful that he was still able to record for us his sermon this weekend. You can still find that on our YouTube page. Just search Emmanuel Lutheran Church Mankato on YouTube, and you can find that was posted there for your worship this weekend. So obviously with the gym being flooded and in limbo right now, we are now in the process of putting the church back together so that we can resume services there this weekend. As you know, if you've been keeping up, we painted the side walls a bright white color as the voters approved us to. And it looks very nice and white and bright in there. But as part of that was having to take some of the pews out so we can move the scaffolding around. But now we need to get those pews put back in. So that work will be done this week, and we'll resume services again in the church. So that's a little bit of a change of plan. We're going to do it in the gym. Can't do that anymore because of the damage to the floor. And so we'll be moving to the church instead this weekend. So you can plan on that if you are planning on attending in person. Monday night, we had our quarterly voters meeting. A number of important things were discussed, mostly the flood and everything going on with that. We still don't know what's going to happen with the gym floor, so a lot of things are kind of in flux right now, but the voters did approve work to be done on the brick above the school side of the building. So work will be done on that to repair and improve that so that the wall there doesn't fall down on top of the school building, which would be really a terrible disaster. So that work needed to be done. That project was approved by the voters. Also brought to the voters was the sanctuary remodel update, but with what's going on with the gym floor and the potential for a large expense there, it was decided not to go forward with any of that at this time until we can figure out what the situation is with the gym floor. So also announced again this week at the voters meeting was the school is planning on opening in person. Part of that was reliant upon the gym for space, and our plan is still to go in-person classes starting on August 24th. It'd be the Monday, first day of school. That is still our plan, to do in-person classes. Tomorrow, Governor Walz is going to come out with an announcement for what he expects the standards for schools in Minnesota, and we'll see what he says, but our plan is to still go forward in person unless we are restricted from doing so. So you can stay tuned for that, and please spread the word. You know, we're hoping to get a boost in attendance in school this year because of the way that we handled this, and the fact that we are going to stay open, and how good we handled the shutdown when we needed to last year as well. Finally, last thing we wanted to highlight is our Vacation Bible School. Vicar, did a lot of work on that VBS for this week. It's all online. Would you want to kind of just give us a little taste of what it's all about?
Sure. Well, we've spent the Pastor Nauman and I have spent the last couple of weeks putting together a series of videos, one per day for this week is the week that it's getting released. So our VBS program, obviously, we are not doing it in person. We hadn't planned to, which is a good thing that we hadn't planned to, because we'd be in a pretty bad way right now with the flooding. Were we trying to do it in person this week anyways? So we thank God for that providence. But we are putting out videos right now every day going over lessons. Our theme for this week, for this year's VBS, is Christ over viruses, illnesses, and disease. Really trying to imprint in the minds of the parents and the children that while we might live in a time of flux and hardship and things are just changing from one day to the next, and it can be very difficult to reconcile that with we want to bring our faith to trust that the Lord is working all things for good, even in this time of hardship and uncertainty. So that's the focus that we took with our VBS. We have packets which have some of the lesson information, some discussion questions, and some other things that are available on the website, emmanuelmankato.org. That is also where the videos are going to be released, one every day. We go over the lesson for the day, and then we have some music and some crafts and a fun little scavenger hunt at the end of each day to top things off. So the nice thing about it being virtual is that there is no time constraint. So if you don't have the time, you're not really prepared to do it this week, it's not going anywhere. It's going to be on the website for, I guess, indefinitely, probably. So if you are able to get to it, didn't do it live this week as we release it, that's wonderful. If that doesn't work out, please make use of it whenever is a more convenient time. And please, this is a wonderful outreach opportunity as well. If you have friends or family or acquaintances who are looking for ways to interact with their children and get them busy and learning about God's Word, please share this information with them as well so that they might also come to have that comfort that we have been assured of, that Christ does have power over all viruses, illnesses, and diseases.
Awesome. Thank you very much. You know, one of the neat things about this VBS is, you know, it's specifically made for, you know, younger children, but there's a lot of discussion questions that we involve in it too that really apply to older kids and to adults too. I just got off the phone with a gal this morning who is in her 60s, and she said she watched all three videos today and, you know, really enjoyed it. So, you know, you can just take what you want from it, take parts of it if you like, and spend as much time as you want or as little time as you want on it. It's a kind of a buffet style almost. You can get what you want out of it and use it for your family, use it for yourself, for your own study. And I really think it gets to some important points and discussion ideas about, you know, what we do know about sickness, because God has a lot to tell us about sickness. You know, the world wants to tell us all kinds of things right now, and you can hear anything you want to hear about what's going on with coronavirus, but God has some important things to tell us about it as well.
Yeah, and it's not, like you said, it's not a huge time sink either. Most videos are about 20 minutes to a half an hour, so, you know, as you have opportunity, just go watch this and keep yourself immersed in that word to strengthen our confidence and our faith during this uncertain time.
Absolutely. All right, so time for our doctrine of the day. Vicar Drew wanted to get into the topic of meat that was sacrificed to idols. It's a big idea in a number of Paul's letters. What did you have for us today, Drew? What did you want to study?
So I'm looking particularly at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. There was this disagreement that was going on in the church of Corinth at the time. There was a lot of idolatry going on, and it was kind of a port city, and it was a hub. There were all sorts of people from all different sorts of lifestyles and upbringings and religions, particularly, that were dwelling in Corinth at the time of Paul. And that ended up being a problem for the Christians there, because what was the practice of the time in the temple was you would sacrifice animals to idols. That was that happened in just about every religion during that time. And then once those animals were sacrificed, part of it would be kept for the temple to feed the priests and things in those religions. And then part of it would be sold. So there would be meat at the market, and the vendors would be selling this meat that had been offered to idols. And there was a disagreement among the Christians in Corinth about whether that meat ought to be avoided or if it was okay to eat. And here we get into the topic of Christian liberty, that there are things that God does not expressly command or forbid in his word. They're called, the word for that is adiaphoron. If it is an adiaphoron, it is something that is neither commanded nor forbidden in Scripture. And eating this meat offered to idols was one of those adiaphoron. But you can understand that on the one hand, there were Christians who were very nervous about eating this meat because it had been offered to idols. And so that afflicted their conscience. They couldn't feel good about that. And we read in God's word that if you sin against your conscience, then that is a sin. We should not do that. God puts those consciousness in our hearts so that we can have a pretty good bearing about what is good and what is evil, and then we can learn more from God's word about what he says about those things. But in this case, it's not talked about in God's word, this meat offered to idols. So it was afflicting some people's conscience, and others said it was fine and they were going ahead and doing it. So the problem was that there were some Christians who were saying we should not do this ever because they really did not have a good feeling about it. And there were some Christians who said this is totally fine to do it. I'm going to do it regardless of whether it offends you or not. And so really the underlying problem here was there was a lack of Christian patience and love and understanding in trying to work together and do things in a way that is going to not be a detriment or not be harmful to their neighbor. The Christians that said that thought that they should never eat this meat offered to idols. It sounds like they were pretty unwilling to be instructed otherwise. They weren't willing to have that conversation to be shown from God's word that this is not something that has been forbidden, and that there should be a discussion about that. The Christians that were okay with eating that meat offered to idols, they were frankly being inconsiderate of the other Christians' conscience. They were eating this meat and not willing to put off that practice until they had had that discussion about whether eating meat was okay or not. So it was a really unfortunate situation because there was a lot of, I guess you could say, pride in the situation. A lot of people not wanting to say that they could possibly be wrong on the issue, and a lot of lack of consideration for the other side and patience and willing to work together to come up with a solution to this. So Paul here talks about how Christian liberty is something that everyone has. If God does not forbid it in Scripture, that is part of our Christian liberty. But never should that Christian liberty be used to the extent that it causes someone else to be led into offense, where they believe that they are sinning against their conscience. Paul goes so far in 1 Corinthians 8 as saying, if eating meat offered to idols offends a brother, may I never eat meat again. And you know, we can't imagine, or I can't imagine personally, what it'd be like to never eat meat ever again in my life. I love it. Hamburgers are my favorite. But Paul was willing to go to that extent in Christian love and patience and understanding to not lead his brother, who did not believe that eating this meat offered to idols was okay, into an offense. So kind of a sticky situation, but really what Paul is encouraging in this section is patience and understanding and love for your neighbor in the way that you act, in the way that you speak, and in the way that you think.
Yeah, good point. You know, I think he begins with that first verse talking about how, you know, all of us possesses knowledge, but knowledge puffs up, love builds up, you know, and it's that pride, like you talked about, that arrogance of, well, I know how to handle this situation. I know what the best thing to do is. I know this is right, or I know this is wrong. Both sides were not, you know, they were so sure in their own knowledge rather than turning to God and turning to his word to see what God had to tell them about there. Because, you know, if they were having love for one another and love for God, that's what builds up. And so any knowledge that is not result in love for your neighbor and love for God is not true godly knowledge. That's what God wants us to have for each other. And you can see, you know, kind of the extreme that can be taken to too, Drew, is where all of a sudden a law is made about adiaphora. And that's taking it to the extreme, and that's what we call legalism, you know, where someone would say, for example, it is wrong to drink, to drink alcohol. That's going beyond what God's word would say. God's word has a lot to say about drunkenness, but it doesn't say it's wrong to have a drink of alcohol. In fact, Jesus, you know, gave wine to his disciples for communion. But, and that's where, you know, if someone would take a strong stance and say, well, you cannot do this, or you have to do this because the Bible commands it when it doesn't, that's where we would take a stance and say, well, we're going to take a stand there and stand with God's word. But that ultimately is love for God's word, too. So it's love is what needs to motivate all the actions we take in regard to our neighbor and in regard to the doctrine and the knowledge that we stand by, because it's love for God and love for his word that Jesus commands for us as we continue to be attached to the vine. And you know, that's one of the things these individuals in Corinth needed to remember, is that they were all branches of the same vine. You know, they were all part of the body of Christ. And if we can remember that, remember that these individuals who were and individuals today that we have disagreements about or have questions with, we can remember that they too are blood-bought souls of Christ, that he died on the cross for their sins, and that he loves them dearly, and we should show that same love to them as well. Anything else to add there?
No, I thought you covered that really well.
Well, I thought you covered it very well.
Oh, thanks. I think I did too.
All right, closing up today, we'll be reading from hymn 411 in the Red Hymnal, which I think ties in well with both of our doctrine of the day and also our opening devotion on the vine. It goes, "From eternity, O God, in thy Son thou didst elect me. Therefore, Father, on life's road graciously to heaven direct me. Send to me thy Holy Spirit, that his gifts I may inherit. Though alive, I'm dead in sin, lost to all good things by nature. Holy Ghost, change me within. Make of me a newborn creature, for the flesh works ruination and can never gain salvation. O create a heart in me that in thee my God believeth, and o'er the iniquity of my sins most truly grieveth. When dark hours of woe betide me, in the wounds of Jesus hide me. As a branch upon a vine, in my blessed Lord implant me. Ever of my head divine, to remain a member grant me. O let him, my Lord and Savior, be my life and love forever. Amen. Thank you for joining us for Twin Steeples Podcast today. Again, a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church. My name is Pastor Joe Nauman. I was joined by Vicar Drew Nauman. We pray the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you this week and always. And remember, Emmanuel, God is with you.